warm welcome and thank you to Jane Calcott this morning from the Food Bank. She's actually taken our service this morning, so thank you very much to her. And Tuesday, 7:30, house group on Zoom with a Sunday morning link. So please come along and join us for that if you can. And Wednesday, 10 a.m. I nearly said 7 a.m. then. We won't get many at the coffee morning for that, would we? So 10 a.m. in the church, coffee morning. 7:30 p.m. we have a deacon's meeting, and it is at the church. Next Sunday is Harvest Festival, so if you see the poster, and there's a sheet out the back, so if you can pop a name on it, and it's a bring and share lunch, so if you can put what you're planning to bring with you so we don't all bring the same, that'd be great. And Sunday, 1st of October, Extraordinary General Meeting, it's just to accept the final accounts and dissolve the unincorporated church. So thank you very much, Dave.
Okay. Okay, I've turned this thing on. Is it working? Yeah?
Yes.
Yeah, okay, that's fine. Thank you very much for the notices. Okay, can we open in prayer, please? Lord Jesus, we thank you that we're free to meet together in this place here to worship you. Help us to clear our minds of all distractions and focus on you alone. You are our anchor, our light, our salvation. You are the sovereign I am. Your love is amazing, so let us give you all the glory as we gather here this morning to praise and to honour you. Amen. Okay, we're going to start off with him. I think it's in books, is it? The thing's not working. It's working now. Oh, right, brilliant. Okay, it's working now then. It is number 1040 if you want it in the book. Come now is the time to worship. I mean, it might be a bit different, the format of the service this morning, because I'm not doing a sermon as such, sort of bang two-thirds of the way through the service or not. There are three different sort of sections that are happening this morning, and this is the first of the three sections. Morning, David. Yeah, wherever, yeah. I try to be a good Christian, I really, really do, but I fall short many times, and I do wonder why, after all the years, I still haven't got it totally right. After all, you might not know, but it is 40 years ago that I was baptised. I put right here where I'm standing, but I'm not standing there now because it was there. I thought I might be standing there. I was baptised here, 1985, in actual fact. Maybe the reason I don't feel such a good Christian is it's because I know me. I know the inside me that other people don't actually see. And the thoughts that sometimes are deep within me certainly shouldn't see the light of day. And at these times, all I can do is to look to Jesus and pray for help and forgiveness. But there is one thing that I still have a problem with. Might strike you as weird, but it's the words of Jesus telling me to love my neighbour as myself. Now, I don't know about you, but I don't really love myself that much, to be honest. So that really wouldn't work. I prefer to love my neighbour much more than myself. And that seems to work out pretty much better. Because I believe we're here to help and care for others as much as we possibly can and in as many ways as we can. After all, that is what Jesus did. And that means not just people we know, our families, our friends, but strangers, and more especially those who are rejected by the majority of our society, sometimes those who are classed as unlovable. I have a grandson. He is in my family, so he's not exactly a stranger, I couldn't say, but I have a grandson called Danny, who's just under 40, who has been a heroin addict for many, many years, since he was a teenager. And he has been, his mum had to get him to leave the house for the sake of the other children when she woke up to go to the toilet once in the night, and when he was about 17, found him laying in the bath with a needle sticking out of his arm, and it could have been any of her other three younger children who had found him in that way. So she then had to say, I'm sorry, you're going to have to leave the house. We can't deal with it anymore. This was a culmination of a lot of other things that had gone on with him stealing money from her purse and all kinds of other things that had been happening as well. So for many years, he lived rough. I did go and see some of the places he was sleeping when he was living rough, and they were like old abandoned factories with leaking roofs and just a pallet on the floor for him to sleep on. You wanted to help him so much, but it was very, very hard, because if you gave him money, you knew where it was going to go. If you gave him food, that was also going to free what money he'd got to actually and then buy the drugs as well. It is a really, really vicious circle. And until somebody comes to their own realisation that they need to change their life, you can't actually do it for them. But it's very frustrating that you can't help them anymore. So this went on for many years. As I said, he's 39 now. Last year, he managed to get free of his addictions, and he had 9 months of a relatively normal life, and he got back to be friends with all his family. His brother got married last year, and wonderfully, he was there to see his brother get married. He was looking after his nephews and nieces, of whom he hadn't ever seen some of them at all, because they were very, very young. Everything was going wonderfully, and then all of a sudden, last October, he just went back, fell backwards, and went back on heroin again. And he can't say why it happened. It just meeting a wrong person at the wrong time and somebody saying, just do this once. Of course, you can't do it once, because once you've done it once, you're back in the cycle again. At this moment in time, he is he's free again. I am taking him to S2S. And if you don't know what that is, it's Substance to Solutions in Carrington Street, which help people with alcohol and drug addictions. And he has been free of it for about 2 months now, and he is getting stronger, and he is focusing on Jesus, as he did last time. He used to come to church with me when he was free last time, every Sunday morning. He doesn't do that, but he is now with a Bible study group and with other Christians who are actually helping him, and this makes a big difference to his life. But if you had seen him when he was in his down and out stage, which he is still a bit, I mean, he looks about 60, but he's only 39. I mean, he's haggard, and you wouldn't think he was the age he is. If you saw him out, he wouldn't be the kind of person, even though he was trying to get clean, that you would think of helping. He would be classed as unlovable, if you like. We loved him because he was our family, and we still do. I don't know why I said that in the past. But he's one of the kind of people that you would pass by in the street and think, oh, for goodness sake, let me get away from him. For heaven's sake, I don't want to have anything to do with him. And yet he is the kind of person that needs great help. And there are so many people out in our society, people with drug and alcohol problems, mental health problems, which are rising dramatically because of the way life is at the moment. A lot of people who need an awful lot of help and love and sympathy. And sometimes it's hard for us to give that when we see people in these situations. This doesn't mean, though, that we should let ourselves be taken advantage of by unscrupulous people. There's plenty of people out there who think, they're Christians, they'll help me anyway because they're Christians. I can ask them for some money, they'll give me some money because I know that they're Christian, and they're easily led, so to speak. We have to take our responsibilities very seriously, because there are a lot of people out there. Some of them, the homeless people that you see, are not actually genuinely homeless at all. They are lying, and people say, well, if I give them food, that's all right, because I'm not giving them money. But it's the same thing as giving them money, in actual fact, if you give them food. And there was a Christian writer a while ago who wrote an article I read in the paper saying, you shouldn't give homeless people anything, and no, only advice or help and places where to go. Don't give them food or money, because it's not actually helping them get out of the cycle that they're actually in. We're not an easy touch, we're not doormats, and we shouldn't let ourselves be treated as such. We have to determine what is true and what's not, and that's not always an easy thing to do. We find this in the food bank. It's sometimes very difficult to determine what's genuine and what's not genuine. And if we're in doubt, we turn to God in prayer and pass our doubts on and our fears on to him, and we know that he will provide an answer for us. It's a very hard one to deal with. But I've got in my kitchen, hanging on, I've got a notice board in my kitchen, and I've got all kind of bits and pieces pinned to it. And I've got some words of John Wesley hanging on there, which will never be taken off, because it's kind of an ethos within me. And it says, do all the good you can, by all the means you can, in all the ways you can, in all the places you can, at all the times you can, to all the people you can, as long as ever you can. And that's what I try to live by right now. Okay, can we please sing hymn number 50, Be Still?
It's the section which is entitled The Final Judgment. When the Son of Man comes as king and all the angels with him, he will sit on his royal throne, and the people of all the nations will be gathered before him. Then he will divide them into two groups, just as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. He will put the righteous people on his right and the others on his left. Then the king will say to the people on his right,
"Come you that are blessed by my Father, come and possess the kingdom which has been prepared for you ever since the creation of the world. As I was hungry and you fed me, thirsty you gave me a drink, I was a stranger and you received me into your homes, naked and you clothed me, I was sick and you took care of me, in prison and you visited me."
The righteous will then answer him, "When, Lord, did we ever see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you a drink? When did we ever see you a stranger and welcome you in our homes, or naked and clothe you? When did we ever see you sick or in prison and visit you?" The king will reply,
"I tell you, whenever you did this for the one of the least important of these followers of mine, you did it for me."
Then he will say to those on his left,
"Away from me, you that are under God's curse, away to the eternal fire which has been prepared for the devil and his angels. I was hungry, but you would not feed me, thirsty, but you would not give me drink. I was a stranger, but you would not welcome me into your homes, naked, and you would not clothe me. I was sick and in prison, but you would not take care of me."
Then they will answer him, "When, Lord, did we ever see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or naked or sick or in prison and would not help you?" The king will reply,
"I tell you, whenever you refused to help one of these least important ones, you refused to help me." These then will be sent off to eternal punishment, but the righteous will go to eternal life.
Amen. Thank you. It was always one of my favourite passages in the Bible, even before I got interested in the food bank, I have to say, but it seems very relevant to that at this moment in time. Okay, we're going to continue on with hymn number 806, which is Beauty for Brokenness.
Oh, I think Joy's going to lead us in prayer now.
And earthquakes, things we cannot comprehend, losing everything. Be with these people, let them feel your calm, your love, and give them strength. Help them learn how to live without loved ones and all the belongings that they use for their daily lives. We think of people living in conflicts, wars, and places that they no longer feel safe. Be with them all, give them the strength and the help. Help them feel loved. Lord, we also bring our prayers for our town, the churches and the people. We especially think of the food bank, the staff, the volunteers who help and minister to these people who have needs. Be with the people who have to make that difficult journey to go into the doors of the food bank. Give them strength. Help everybody within this project to share love and hope. We bring to you our prayers for our church family, Sheila, and all those in our fellowship who need your loving care, your calming hand to hold, and your presence to feel in their hours of need and sometimes loneliness as they no longer live with families. As we go forward, we leave the sanctuary of your place, your building. We ask you to be with us all. Help us to show your love through us and give us strength to do actions that you would be proud of and that we can then show everybody else how we love you and how you love us. We ask this in your name. Amen.
Do we have any kind of pictures of the food bank stuff? I know I've got a Keith sent me very kindly some pictures. Okay, could we have the door one that says food bank, the middle one? Yeah, please. Thank you very much. I don't know if I'm standing in the way of anybody there, but this is the outside of the food bank. If you haven't seen it, the entrance is in Market Street, at the top of Market Street in Kettering, and it's in a sort of little courtyard bit opposite the coffee shop. Used to be called the Mental Monkey. It's now changed, thank goodness, to Cafe Ness. So a bit nicer to say. When we used to say we're dead opposite the Mental Monkey, people used to say, what? I didn't know what on earth we were talking about. This is our entrance anyway, and nicely he's done it with the door open. Keith's very kindly done these pictures for me. We've got a bit of bunching up. We were only going to have it there for the opening when we first opened a few years ago there, but we thought it looked a bit more welcoming, so we decided we'd leave it up, because as Joy's just pray. People find it very hard to have to come in for the first time. We do telephone consultations, really, so they need to ring up first, but it's still a big step if you've never done anything like that in your life before, and that's happening a lot now that we've got a lot of new people coming in, that people having to actually set foot, walk up to come and collect a parcel. It's not the sort of thing you want to have to do, let's be honest, you know, so some people find it very difficult. We do deliveries though as well, particularly to the villages surrounding Kettering, because we cover the old Kettering borough as was, which has got 31 villages in it, so we cover quite a large area. And we try to be as welcoming and as friendly and as we can be, and to have a laugh with people that come to break up the feelings that they have. Sometimes, of course, we're not having a laugh with them. Sometimes we're crying with them, because sometimes they come in and we are quite generous with what we give in our parcels, I have to say. We have standard parcels, but we also add fresh fruit and vegetables and toiletries and dog and cat food and baby food and nappies and stuff you use for cleaning and Greg's stuff from the fridge freezer, so they can have some fresh meat, some butter, so we can give bread and butter. And sometimes they're a bit overwhelmed by what they get, but the idea is to give them a boost to set them up for a while so that they can then get themselves rolling again, hopefully. I remember one gentleman who came in some time ago, and I said, there's your parcel, and there were the bags sitting there for his family, because he had a family, and he said, which one? And there were probably about 8 or 9 carrier bags there, and I said, no, all of them. And he was absolutely gobsmacked. I mean, he was, yeah. We've been God blessed many, many times. Yeah, God bless you as people go out, which is really, really nice. But it's lovely, and it gives us a wonderful feeling to be able to help people who are in the situations they're in, because some of them are very, very sad situations. Could you go to the one where, sadly, it's got me on it. I didn't ask Keith to do this, honestly. Yeah, that one. That's me with a couple of our volunteers. We've actually got 20 now, because we're so busy at this moment in time. We've had to take extra people on. We work over 4 days. That's me on one side and Gail in the middle and Lynn on the other side. And we're actually standing in front of the green bags, which are where the ready-made parcels of kind of packets and tins and cereals and everything else that's not perishable go. We have sort of 3 shelves, single, double, and then what we call a family, which is for 4 people, but very often there's more than 4 people in a family, so we have to amalgamate 2 together. And the stuff on the front is just stuff they're putting away, I think, as far as I can see. I didn't know what pictures he was picking, so I'm just going with the flow there. We have 20, about just under half of them are Christian. We used to be all Christian when we started down in St. Jude's about 14 years ago. It was a Christian, totally Christian organisation. We now have taking other people in, a bit like St. Peter and Paul with their soup kitchen. As David Walsh said at a meeting I was at this week, yeah, they're not Christians. All their volunteers aren't Christians either. But you hope that by the way that we're behaving and the way that we're showing things, that we are teaching them how to be Christian. And who knows what may come of it all? We can but pray. We're seeing a massive, massive demand. I worked out the figures for August because I knew I was coming here, and this August this year, our outgoings were 65% up on the August for the previous year, which is a massive, massive amount. Then we don't say how many parcels we're giving out each week, because that doesn't make sense, because there could be a parcel for one person. And we've had families with 8 people in them. So if I say, oh, we're giving out 2 parcels, you just think, oh, that's enough food for 2 people. It isn't. It would be enough food for 9 people. So we kind of work it out on meals to figure out how much we're giving out. At the moment, each week, we're giving out the equivalent of 1,500 to 2,000 meals. That is huge. When we first started, we thought we were doing very well if we gave out 5 parcels, which we were having, but it's absolutely massive now. And that, of course, is because of the situation we're in, knock on from COVID, plus everything else now on top of it. That's causing us a bit of a headache. We're not having enough donations coming in to kind of cover that now. We always used to have enough. We used to have enough because when you get harvest coming, which we've got, thank goodness we've got harvest coming and Christmas, because people are always exceedingly generous at harvest and Christmas. It doesn't continue all through the year. So harvest and Christmas, we get loads and loads of stuff in, which is lovely. And it used to last us right through till about July of the next year, when we had to buy a few bits in till the next harvest. Now we've been buying food in since March this year, and on average we're spending between £2,500 and £4,000 a month on food that we're having to buy in. We're able to do this because we're truly blessed by people who donate on a regular basis to us, on a monthly basis, into our bank account, from businesses who have given us some lump sums to help tide us over, because we wouldn't be able to do this if it wasn't for all these wonderful people who are actually helping us. And we feel one of my other Christian fellas said there, God must think we're doing something right, else we wouldn't be getting all this stuff coming in. So we're praying that that is the case, and we think we're doing it right anyway. But we have lovely regular people who come in, pop in on a regular, I mean, every Wednesday there's a guy called Ian comes in. and he brings about £50 worth of food in every single week, and he brings me frozen food for the fridge freezer, because that's my domain bit. I do the assessments on the phone, and the fridge freezer's my bit. He brings us fresh fruit and vegetables, he brings us groceries. There's another retired doctor who does the same thing on a Saturday, an old Kettering doctor, which many of you would probably know. We've got lots of businesses, as I said, who will support us. Last Christmas, we had a big donation from the Market Harbour Building Society, which has helped us dramatically, because we have to run the van and the premises as well. So, but because it is working out, we feel that God is with us, and we're doing what we should be doing. There's a lovely guy called Mike who owns KLM Taxis and Headlands Taxis, and he actually is an Irish guy. I'm assuming he's a Christian. He's got to be from the way he speaks, but he gives us 20 free taxis a week. So because the bags are really, really heavy, and if people, they can come in, but if they haven't got transport, they say, I don't know how I'm going to get them home, we can say, we can give you a free taxi home if you're really stuck. And we're allowed 20 free taxis a week. I think sometimes we go over it, but he doesn't complain. So he gives us so many free taxis, which is really lovely. There's churches who help us, schools, all the businesses, who sometimes churches have collection boxes at the front. We have at Fuller. Schools will periodically have collections for us, particularly Harvest. I'm going to Cranford School tomorrow morning to have a chat in assembly with the children there, to tell them what we do and sort of tailor it to their needs, because they always do a big Harvest collection for us at Cranford School, and lots of schools come. So sometimes, you know, they don't always tell you when they're going to turn up with the stuff. So you can be in there trying to give parcels out, and all of a sudden this school turns up in a minibus with half a dozen kids, and they're piling stuff in, and we don't know where to put it, and everything else is still trying to go on at the same time. But it's absolutely wonderful when it happens like that. You go home absolutely shattered at the end of it, but you feel so happy inside. It fills your heart, and you're just so joyous. So I consider myself very privileged that I'm actually there in the food bank, I have to say. And I think we've got one more picture on that first three, haven't they, with Helen. You might recognise the lady in the middle. It's Helen Wakefield Carr, who is the Minister of Toller. I don't know whether you can see her very well. That's her two sons that she adopted many, many years ago. She actually went to Greenbelt this year, and she asked them if she could have all the stuff that was left over from the campers and everything for the food bank. So she collected it up. Bless her, she had to do it on her own. They gathered it all in one place, but they hadn't got anybody to help her to pack it in. So luckily she's got a big car, because she got the two boys in there, and she ran. I have never seen so much stuff be rammed into one car or come out of one car in the whole of my life as when she came on the Monday, the bank holiday Monday, and we opened up for her to bring it in. And she said, I need some help because the boys can't move. And the two boys, bless them, were sat in the sort of car like this, and they were surrounded, piled high with stuff on their laps. They couldn't even see in front of them. They literally couldn't move. We had to kind of get all the stuff out from around them, and then so that they could get out to help. And she said, I rammed it all in, and there were four boxes left. And she said, I've decided I'm not going back for four boxes, so it's all going in. So she just rammed it all in there and brought it to us, which is a tremendous boost. I mean, you can imagine what kind of stuff we got. You know, it boosted our pot noodle shelf no end, you know. But it doesn't matter. It's all good stuff. So we are very, very grateful for everything that we do have coming in. I've just realised something I've missed as well, so we're going to do it in a minute. Yeah, after Joy's prayers, we were going to sing the Lord's Prayer, weren't we? And I totally forgot about that. So I love the Lord's Prayer being sung. I don't. It's just something. So I'm indulging myself this morning, I'm afraid. So if we can do that before we sing the next hymn, if you wouldn't mind, because I've missed that, yeah.
Our Father who art
temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Thank you. I'm sorry I forgot that. Yeah. Okay, we're going to sing hymn number 606, which is Soften My Heart. And it's I've put this in because it's something I actually said to one of our helpers who's not a Christian. And she was muttering and moaning about people coming into the phone bank and all. Why don't they do this? Why don't they do that? Why don't they? I said, you don't hear what they're saying on the telephone at the other end, and you don't hear the story. All you know is that people are coming in for a parcel. And I said, we sing a hymn in church called Soften My Heart. And so I sang it to her. Bless her. She had to put up with it. But so she said, yeah, I know what you mean, she said. So, and ever since then, she's been all right. It worked. So that's why I've put it in. Sorry, I'm sitting down because I've got a bit of a bad back, and if I stand up for too long, it plays me up. So if I sit down in the hymns, it'll probably save me from having to sit down while I'm in the middle of talking. There are three more pictures, and I can't figure out what on earth is taken here. So if you'd like to put, okay, yeah, I know what that one is. I know what that one is. The first, if you'll go back to the first one. I haven't got a clue where that's come from. It doesn't look like anything that we've got. It must be. It must have been on one of our. It must have been on our Facebook page. So it must be. It looks like fresh fruit and vegetables, ready to go out. I don't understand where that one's coming from. So we'll pass on to the second one, please, if you don't mind. Yeah, this is a difference between the beginning of the day and the end of the day, really, when we've got our parcels ready made up, all ready to go on the top shelf, and then the bottom when they've actually virtually decimated and gone. That's just one of our days, as I said. How it works is people ring us up. We don't actually do face-to-faces anymore because we haven't got the facilities or the room inside to do that. We used to have a room when we were down at Praise Community. We haven't got that facility anymore, so you can't have people telling you their personal details or maybe getting upset just standing in front of a desk with a group of other people working around them. It just wouldn't work. So we do it by the telephone now, which people seem to prefer as well. People can ring us individually and ask for help, but we do get now an enormous amount of organisations. I've had to write them now because I forget them all. I mean, this isn't even all of them. We've got social workers, people with mental health charities, schools, doctors, Kettering Town Council, accommodation concerns, citizens' advice. KCU refer people to us because they've only got a very tiny food bank. Child protection agencies, domestic abuse agencies. There are so many now different organisations. It's not like you just used to have the social services. There's hundreds of different places all over. They ring up and they refer people to us, give us a rough idea of what the problem is. We don't go into personal details. It's good enough that they know that these people that are in dire need, and when they are rung up by these organisations, these people really are in dire need. So we fill in assessment forms with their basic details, and then if they're ringing individually, we ask them how we can help them and what their problem is. Sometimes we can help them there and then with apart from food, with advice and help, or we can refer them on to different agencies and give them phone numbers, places, etc., that they can ring up for particular help. So there's so many people struggling with debt at this moment in time, and that's just kind of a knock-on effect from past years, but it's still having an effect on their lives now, because once you're in that kind of spiral, once you're in debt and then you get some money to get you out of that debt, and then you haven't got enough then to buy your food with, and so you're borrowing some more money from somebody to pay, and you just end up then getting in a worse and worse spiral, and bigger spiral, until it culminates in people sometimes committing suicide, and many people that we've dealt with have got severe mental health and anxiety problems because they just can't see. It's like there's this enormous cloud. They can't see any way out of it. How on earth can they get out of these problems? And there's places like Step Change, and there's CAP, the Christians Against Poverty. There's lots of groups who we can pass them on to help them get out of the problems that they're in. But it doesn't take the problem away. They've still got to eventually pay back, although, albeit, if they get help, then the payments are reduced, so then, therefore, then they're not in such a dire situation as they would have been. So we fill in these assessment forms, make notes of everything that they say, so that if they ring up again, we've got a record of what they've said. This is also important from something that I was saying before about not taking everything as gospel truth that is told you, particularly by individuals. If it's social workers, etc., yes, okay, we know that's right. Sometimes individuals will try it on. And that's that. We try very hard. Now, there's not many times we get taken for a ride at all, once in a blue moon now. When we first opened, it was very hard to do, but now we know how to deal with the people who are not telling the truth. We've got certain systems in place when we ask questions, so we can soon twig what is true and what is not true. And if someone comes to collect a parcel that has pleaded poverty and has said, yeah, that they've got these children, etc., and they come, we had a lady come who had pleaded that cause, and she came to collect the parcel, and she'd got the most beautiful patterned nails on that must have cost an absolute fortune, and her eyebrows had been done and she was plastered in makeup. Now that might sound very discriminatory, really, for you. You might think, well, how can she possibly stand there and say that? But it's true. And I said, oh, your nails are nice, you know. And she said, yeah, I only had them done a couple of weeks ago. So I said, well, if you can afford to pay that much to have your nails done, you can afford to pay for food for your children. So please don't come back again, which she didn't. And she's sort of red flag now as far as we're concerned, because you've got to get your priorities right. If you are in a bad situation, you can't go out thinking you can still live life as if you had got all the money in the world and then expect other people like us to sort of bail you out of it. So we do, and the same with some of the Somebody who came for a parcel. Well, it nearly knocked me over, the smell of alcohol, when he stood the other side of my desk to collect his parcel. I thought, crikey, if I breathe in deeply, I should be drunk as well. You know, he was... So he got sent away, didn't even have his parcel, no two ways about it. In saying that, S2S, who are Substance to Solutions, will sometimes send us people who are on a programme with them, who have been alcoholics and drug users, like my grandson, and are on a programme with them and are getting out of it. And it is a fact that alcoholics can't just stop drinking like that because of the damage it does to their body. We've got one guy who comes and he says, I'm only down to half a bottle of vodka a week now. And anybody else might think, well, what the hell are they doing giving him a food parcel if he's drinking half a bottle of vodka a week? That's why, because they can't suddenly stop. So he was referred to us from S2S. So it's much more complex than you might think. We don't just sit there behind the desk and somebody comes up and says, can I have a food parcel? And you say, yeah, okay, then off you go. It's a lot more complicated than you might think. There are so many people, though, who need help right now. A lot of pensioners we have now got coming in. We've never, ever had that before. It only started last year. And a lot of pensioners who don't have a private pension or any other help, and maybe on a pension and only pension credit, they are really, really struggling themselves now. They don't know. I mean, we did have one pensioner, a late lady, come who just said, she said, I never thought I would ever come to this, that I would ever have to ask for help. All my life I've managed, and she said, I just can't do it anymore. I've got a couple of, I've just written a couple of names down here to remind myself to say there's a couple of pensioners in a village not far from here who got into such a debt over the COVID situation. They got into debt with the council, with their bills. They got into debt with absolutely everything because they've got an autistic adult son living with them, which doesn't actually help their situation at all. They got in such a mess that we started helping them last year. We're still helping them every month now until they can get... They have got, like, the bailiffs, they've got... There's a debt collection agency called Jacobs that go round, and they're not very nice when they go round to get the money. They're quite threatening. And one day, his wife was at home on her own, and Jacobs went round to collect the money, and she was absolutely petrified. She ended up giving them much more money than she was asked to, because they frightened her so much with a threatening behaviour. So then that put them on the backpedal again, if you know what I mean. So we're still helping them until they can clear this Jacob's debt, because we have done it for one other family in Kettering before, and they were struggling with this, a couple with a child, struggling with this Jacob's debt because they ask quite a lot of money, and so therefore they just can't manage to last the month. And it took them a year to get out of this debt, and we helped them for a year. We haven't seen her for months and months and months now. She's still got some small debts, but she's got rid of this big overhanging debt. She ended up in St Mary's Hospital being really, really ill, close to committing suicide because of the problems that they'd got. It's wonderful that we don't see her now. We're really pleased sometimes when we don't see people, let's put it that way. There was a couple in Burton Latimer, a working couple. Her husband was working with a four-year-old child, and they suddenly got dumped on them. They were only young, in their 20s. His two brothers had to go to live with them because his father, who lived in Northampton, had become violent towards the two boys, and they were in physical danger. So social services took them away from the father, and if they hadn't taken the boys on, they would have had to go into care. And his wife said, we couldn't let that happen to his brothers, but they were teenage brothers. I think they were 15 and 13. And so they just came to us with nothing, no clothes, no nothing. It was in the school, beginning of the school holidays. And they had managed to keep going for a couple of weeks, because she'd had to buy shoes, they had to buy clothes, and we didn't have much savings because we were only young ourselves. But now it's all gone, and my husband doesn't get paid, and we don't know what we're going to do, because these boys are eating us out of house and home, which they would be, wouldn't they, teenage boys. So we helped them out for a period of time. They are now they have now got their problem sorted out. That was a kind of a very, very temporary situation, whereas the older couple were a more of a permanent situation. So sometimes it's just a one-off parcel, sometimes it's a parcel for quite a long time. There's victims of domestic abuse who get put up in the travel lodge, which is of no help to them at all. They just get taken out of the situation. They put them up on the A14 in the travel lodge where they haven't got any cooking facilities. They've just got a kettle. And they don't have any money apart from a small amount. It doesn't kick in straight away anyway. So because they've been taken out of the situation, we get asked by the social workers to help them in the travel lodge. And this is where the pot noodles and all that comes in, because you've got to give them stuff that they can cook with a kettle only, which is really, really hard. We have got some £5 Greggs vouchers, so we will give them so they can go down and get something hot, which is more relevant in the winter than it is now. But that's a really difficult one to do, because we have to make up special parcels for them for what they can use. And there's also... And you always think, oh, it's ladies in the domestic abuse. We've got a men's refuge not far from the food bank, in actual fact, in Kettering, where male victims of domestic abuse are placed. And we seem to be constantly helping, because the turnover is quite high there. They put them in temporarily and then they move on out. And because the universal credit system doesn't kick in for several weeks, they have no money to live on. So... So they come to us on a regular basis, and they're always... But they would be lovely men, wouldn't they? Because they haven't retaliated. They're the victims. And we just said something. One came in yesterday, and I said, oh, he's such a lovely man. And then we all said, they would be, wouldn't they? Because they haven't retaliated to any abuse that they've received. So they are going to be those kind of people. And there was one in there who'd got a little boy, and they found him a temporary accommodation. We helped him for several weeks, but now he's housed, I think, in Burton Latimer now. And he came in, actually, the other day, and he gave us £20, and he said, I can't afford much, but I just want to say thank you for all the weeks and all the times. I can't tell you how much it meant to me. It's just absolutely lovely when things like that happen. It wouldn't have mattered if it had been 50p. You know what I mean? It was just the fact that he actually came in and said that. It's not the easiest job in the world, and it's sometimes the most heartbreaking job in the world, but I wouldn't change it for the world. I absolutely love being there. And to close, I'm just going to repeat something from the Bible reading, which we did a bit earlier. When the righteous asked, when did we ever see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you a drink? Jesus answered, I tell you, whenever you did this for one of the least important of these brothers of mine, you did it for me. And that's what keeps me and all of us going. Okay, we're going to close with our final hymn, 1227, Splendor of the King. Thank you. Thank you. Before I say the grace, I'll just say yes. David did say earlier, yeah, I come to see you. David does come to see us, yeah. Sometimes gets a packet of crisps, don't you, David? Yeah, and he comes for his prayers as well. Most days when we're open, bless him, yeah. Okay, can we end with saying the grace together, please? May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. Amen. Thank you.